Welcome everyone to our school board meeting tonight, and we are going to start our meeting with Olia Larson leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please stand. Repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
I just thought we had wonderful students here. We need to have them lead us in the pledge tonight. The Board of Education met earlier tonight at 3:30 at Logan High, and we walked through the new building. We are very excited about it, and we are pleased to say that we're on right on schedule on some places of the building, and we are in advance of schedule in other places in the building, so we're really excited. We now have our consent calendar, and then we will move to our work session. Our consent calendar consists of action on extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel. Is there a motion?
I would like to move that, having read it thoroughly, I move that we pass the consent calendar.
All right, it's been moved by Connie. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, moved by Connie, seconded by Christy. All those in favor of action on extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are really excited to have a lot of people here tonight, and we don't always have a lot of people here on our work sessions. We were notified by our principal at Hillcrest Elementary that his students on his Lighthouse team wanted to come and issue an invitation and a discussion with us tonight. So, Mr. Markworth, if you'll have your Lighthouse team come forward. Come on forward. Yeah, spread across the front unless you're needing to use the mic, and if we need the mic, we can pass it also.
What the Lighthouse team is, right? Okay, so the Lighthouse team is a group of students that is helping others succeed, and we're helping others at our school become leaders and help them succeed.
The Hillcrest Leader Day will be, the purpose is our students will present their leadership skills to the committee. It's on Thursday, February 25th, 2016, 9 o'clock to 10:30 a.m.
My favorite thing to do on the Lighthouse team is to be a good example to others so they can learn.
My favorite thing on the Lighthouse team is to represent all the school's ideas.
My favorite part of being on the Lighthouse team is meeting new people.
My favorite thing about being on the Lighthouse team is helping and planning assemblies.
My favorite thing about the Lighthouse team is expanding my leadership skills.
They're going to give us invitations, but I would like them, as they pass the mic, to each say their name and what grade they're in at Hillcrest, and then we would like any parents who are with them to raise their hands when they introduce themselves. Go ahead, you may start.
My name is Keaton, and I am in fourth grade.
What's your last name?
My last name is Pond.
And Keaton's dad's here. And mom. Okay, I didn't see her.
Okay.
My name is Nathan DeMorgan, and I'm in fourth grade.
Do you have family here?
My dad.
There's your dad.
My name is Emma Fenstermaker, and I'm in fifth grade.
My name is Jackson Markworth, and I'm fourth grade.
Mom. It might break her in.
My name is Tyler Markworth, and I'm in fourth grade.
My name is Cora Wade, and I'm in fourth grade.
My name is Aaliyah Larson, and I'm fifth grade.
Thank you for coming, students. You may now pass us what you'd like to, and we want to give you a round of applause for coming tonight. Thank you. We appreciate that, and we will all try really hard to come up and see your presentation on Leaders Day. We're excited. We're glad that you're a leader in me school, because you all showed great leadership here tonight. Thank you. And you are welcome to stay, or you may leave. We understand.
Hey, Jason.
Did you get one, Stacy?
Yeah. She's going to share mine. Thank you.
Thank you.
She keeps us all on track. That's why we need her to have one. Thank you. It was wonderful. That was very fun. And you'll notice we have a rather short agenda tonight. We had several items that we were going to discuss, but we found that they either weren't quite ready or we had some other issues come up, and so those individuals were not able to be here. You'll see we don't have a lot of district staff tonight because we have a lot going on within their families right now. We will go to discussion on student travel for national competition. Superintendent Frank Schofield.
Thank you. At the end of last year, you'll recall we had several, I believe three or four teams from various elementary schools in the district qualify for the National Odyssey of the Mind competition. Now, this was great, and we continue to have significant participation at our elementary schools in that program. The challenge we ran into, if you recall, at the end of last year is we had such a large number of students qualify that it was a larger group than we'd ever paid for to attend national competition. So that kind of caused us to look at our guidelines and what standards we'd been applying when deciding how to fund student travel to national competitions. What we did this fall is we pulled a committee together. It had Becca Crookston representing both our district PTA as well as being a parent of an Odyssey of the Mind team. We had Paul Wagner, both for his experience as an administrator but also his background as a debate coach and having students who have qualified for the national competitions. Tacy Hymas from Mount Logan Middle School, because of her involvement in the National History Fair, where they've also had students go. And then Ann, Jeff, and I rounded out that group. We met and we basically visited with them and said, hey, as teachers to Tacy and Paul, with your experiences taking students on national competitions, really talk to us about what students were expecting, what did students need, what were parents expecting, how do we best support those programs moving forward, with the understanding that because we're seeing an increase in the number of team activities that are qualifying for national competitions, Odyssey of the Mind being one of the biggest for us, we can't necessarily afford to continue with the same practices we have in the past. In the past, if we had an individual debater or a couple of debaters qualify for the national competition, we would pay the cost for that. Well, and now we start having teams of 6 to 8 students, and you have 4 or 5 teams qualifying, and then you have parent chaperones and staff chaperones, that starts to get very costly very fast. And they it actually was a very productive meeting, and they were very understanding of that. They said, no, we think the majority of our students and our parents don't expect to have things covered. They don't expect the cost to be paid for by the district. Would they understand that this is an opportunity, and if they're going to go, that there needs to be some involvement as well? So after we visited with them, Jeff and I started looking at numbers and looking at where we wanted to move forward. And what we're planning on going forward from this point is for this school year, we will pay the costs for any student or team that earns first place in a competition that's part of a competitive qualifying process for a national competition. So for example, if they place in the top three in a qualifying competition, you know, that would be the competitive process. So if they take first place, we will cover their costs, their registration, their transportation, food, lodging, et cetera. We will pay for district employees that help chaperone the trip. Parent employees who chaperone will have to pay their own costs. So we will pay for the cost for the students and the cost for any district employees who help chaperone them. Students or any groups that earn recognitions lower than first place will be responsible for their own expenses. They'll still be eligible to travel and participate, but they'll be responsible for their own expenses for that trip.
And what would those be if they want expenses?
It would depend. What those expenses would be would depend on the trip. Yes, it would. It would be travel, lodging, food, et cetera. Those would not be paid by the district.
Great. Can I interrupt you real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to give us a written version of what you're saying?
I can email it out to you.
Okay, travel, yeah.
Okay.
That would be helpful. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I've made a couple revisions today just to clarify some language. So that's why I didn't send it out to you before this meeting. But with the clarifications, I'll email that out to you tonight. For future years, Jeff and I really went back and forth on this quite a bit, and especially based on the input we've gotten from the committee. We will continue to cover the cost of a faculty chaperone. So anything, if we have a debater qualify for the national competition, we will pay all the costs for the chaperone. Any other costs will be the responsibility of the individuals who have qualified for the competition. Now, they will have fundraising opportunities. We can do fellowships for some of those through the foundation, as has been done in the past. But they would need to raise the funds for that competition. There are a couple of reasons why we landed on that. At first, we began with the idea of it would be nice if we could cover a certain percentage of the cost or a certain amount of the cost. We are we have some uncertainty in terms of expenses coming up. First of all, we don't have a way to predict how many students that would involve. So if we said we will pay 50% of the cost up to a certain dollar amount, the amount that we could be paying out could still be significant depending on the number of students who qualify for competitions. If we wanted to go that route, we would have to say, here's a set dollar amount, here's from our budget that we can afford to pay with that, and then how much that covers varies from year to year depending on how many kids qualify. The other challenge we're running into is we are looking at some potential for significant increases in our insurance premiums that the district pays for next year, and where that is a cost that we cover at the district level that is affecting our fund availability for projects like this. If we continue to have significant increases there, the concern is that it becomes harder for us to provide pay and resources that we need for our teaching staff if we have an undetermined amount of money that we have to use to pay for our student travel to national competitions. So looking at all those and looking at some of the financial uncertainty that we deal with in the state, with what comes to us from the legislature, how do we then have to allocate that to address ever-growing costs? I mean, even our utility expenses don't generally go down. The rates stay the same or they go up. It was a hard decision, but we presented to the group, I emailed it out, that we feel like we need to move forward saying we'll cover the cost for any employees who chaperone the trips, but otherwise students would have to work to make up those costs. As I've had informal conversations with parents in my neighborhood who participate with Odyssey of the Mind and other activities, they have responded understandingly. They've said, yeah, we get that. We understand. We just need to know so we can plan for it. And that's it. So that's been the general response that we've received so far. As we've shared that informally with community members, as we've shared it with the principals, and now I share it to you, and we're starting to spread it widely. I have visited with Becca Crookston about it. She understands, and she hasn't expressed opposition to what we're doing.
When you said, okay, for this year, this is where I got a little bit confused. This year, that any team, you know, for first place that says this year we will pay for the first place team who goes. What do we pay for? We pay for the chaperone?
For any team this year. This year, any team that goes, we will cover the cost for everything. So registration, travel.
Okay. Registration, okay.
Lodging, per diem.
Lodging?
Yeah.
For the students?
Yes.
Okay, see, that's what I thought. You said that you wouldn't.
No, the only thing we would not pay for this year is parent costs. So if parents want to go, that would be the expense, an expense borne by the family.
Okay, so you pay for their travel and their lodging and everything this year.
Yes.
That's what I had asked.
And the reason...
I think you thought I were talking about next year.
Okay. Yeah. And the reason for that was we recognize that for students who are going on national competitions, there isn't a great amount of time this year for them to do the fundraising that they would need to do. Most of the groups already have ideas for fundraising. They've been thinking about it because most of the other schools, because of our discussion last year, and most of the other teams from across the state that participate have to raise their own funds. So they have ideas of what to do. We just need to give them time.
It'll just be cost of the chaperone.
After this year, we will cover the cost of the chaperone, and they will have to raise the funds for the teams will have to raise the funds. Yes. Yeah, so we would pay for the faculty advisor for the team would be paid for by the district.
It wouldn't be paying the other chaperones that would be
given. It would not be paying parent chaperones. Just be the ones who are employees.
But not the participant.
Not the students, no.
So no. If they won first place in reflections, we'd only pay for the chaperone, the district chaperone person.
Right.
And the child would have to pay their own way.
Right.
So that's a huge kind of a change in...
Well, we've never had a district reflection, but we've had...
Well, I mean, we've had history
But we have had, fair. Yeah, history fair and things like that.
I just was using that as an example.
Yeah.
What's interesting, though, is that I remember clear back when I was foundation director many years ago, and that was an area that we did we did more scholarships for kids for national competitions than we did college scholarships because we had so many kids who were qualifying and, you know, we would fund the entire, what they had to show some need and also some willingness to do some things. But it was, you know, we had a new superintendent who came in and said, we'll cover everything. And it, as we know last year, just Odyssey of the Mind cost us a fortune. Talking with Paul Wagner, he said ideally, you know, when he would take his three or four to national debate, Skyview was there on a school bus with 35, 40 kids for national debate. And he said, ideally, that's what our debate program should be looking like. You know, that we have that many kids qualified. Mm-hmm. And so it was interesting to hear his side of it. He said, you know, we stayed in the nicest hotels. We had a nice per diem. It was really cushy for us. And he said it was very enjoyable and it took the stress from the faculty advisor. Mm-hmm. But he felt like perhaps kids appreciate things more when they're required to do the fundraising and be part of it. So that was an interesting insight from Paul. Connie, you had something.
Mm-hmm. Can people donate to the foundation and specifically ask for that money to go to scholarships for competitions?
If it's in general, yes. For a particular person, no. So you could not give money to Joe Smith. You could give money to a fellowship.
And that's something Shanna and I were discussing this earlier, and she showed me, would they still have the form that the foundation uses to provide those fellowships for students. So we do have opportunities. Let's say there is a student who does not have the financial resources to cover the entire cost on their own. we do have ways as a district to provide support and find ways to help them raise their money. Every one of those groups can fundraise in accordance with our district fundraising policies. So there would still be ways to provide support to help them take advantage of it. A really good question that was raised previously that was an observation was, if we have additional trips, things like close-up, et cetera, what do we do to make sure that the cost of close-up is not preventing certain students from participating?
It does, yeah.
So that's why we have this discussion of the fellowships through the foundation, opportunities to raise funds that way. And as we visited with staff and we've been discussing this, some of those events, student participation in those events is not limited so much by the funds, because we do have ways to help with that. It's limited more by, are the students having the experiences that cause them to want to participate in that activity? So, for example, with close-up, what we want to be focusing on is having more students have experiences with social studies, more students having experiences in U.S. history that make them say, you know, I really want to go back to D.C. I want to have that experience. And then if they want to have that experience, we can help with finding the funds and the resources
and
to do that.
Need to know that those resources are available.
Yes.
Yeah. I know we had the discussion, there's a private Christian school from Chicago that goes every year, and we were talking to some of their chaperones, and they said that, you know, they have a parent booster club that does a lot of fundraisers during the year, and their students actually have to submit essays and compete to go to close-up. It's paid for, but they compete to go. You know, and I'm not saying that we need to go that far, but if students were to know that there were funds available that they could apply for to go, because it does get expensive.
Oh, it definitely does.
I don't think there's any other
to write something.
They have to write an essay. It's a whole competition thing, and they have to. I mean, for the kids, they bring knowledge stuff. You know, and I don't think we need to go that far. But if kids just knew that there was money available that they could go after, I don't think that ever really come up in the discussion. It's just more, do you want to go close up?
So I think what we need to be focusing on is, what experiences are we providing that make more students want to participate and let them know? We can take as many as sign up.
You know, and it was really interesting as we went around, you know, and they had a lot of the time they were assigned to be in groups. They weren't with their whole high school. But the kids would always say, we're soap. We want soap to give us the tour, because he was so knowledgeable about some of the places they were. They just felt like he had as much to give them as the program a lot of the times. But, you know, they were there to be on the program, too. But, you know, I think that the kids, you know, if they knew there was so many money available, more of them might consider going.
Yeah. So they're two separate issues, but they are a little bit related, because we want to make sure that as students have a desire to participate in these enriching activities, we're providing structures that support that.
Mm-hmm.
We can't afford to provide it for everyone who wants it, and to be honest, even everyone who merits it. We simply don't have the resources to do that. But we do have structures where we can support those students who want to look for those opportunities and help them in finding ways to raise the funds.
One of the things I think we need to do then, in regards to what Chrissy brought up at the last board meeting, is that we need to do some outreach with that, where we put that information out and we try to get more students who otherwise would not even attempt to think about it because of the cost. And I don't know what group you want to call them, people who don't have as much money, minority groups or whatever. But right now there is kind of a feeling, I think, Chrissy, right, that, you know, you only get a small number of people applying, and it's the people, you know, who can't afford to go. And I've seen that over the years, that group that goes gets smaller.
Fundraising opportunities provided. It was either sign up to go to close up or unlike choir where they do their big fundraisers.
Well, and the issue too is it's only made available to a select group of people. It's not widespread.
Right.
That was not the case.
So that's unfortunate it's not made available to everybody. Therefore, it limits people on the fact that they don't know what's happening, and two, that they can't financially pay for it. So it needs to be available at least to everybody.
It should be brought up in all history classes.
Exactly.
Not just to be in his class.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that has to come up because, you know, I think all the students know in order to go it costs X amount of money, mm-hmm. and so people just automatically just say, I'm not even going to consider it when they hear it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like so bands, you know, they have the big number of opportunities, but this, it was just like, right, it's close up if you want to go sign up, then this.
Some people don't even know it, so they don't even know it exists.
Yeah. Unless you happen to have Mr. So for a class, then mm-hmm.
you don't.
Or have had an older sibling go, and so, you know, you're looking for it.
I have an additional comment. Well, another comment.
Great.
I guess the thing that concerns me the most is that groups like Close Up and Odyssey, they anticipate every year going. So they can plan to do fundraisers and they can plan to make accommodations for somebody from their group going. It's the people that are spontaneously awarded first place, like the History Fair, or Reflections, or these single kids that, you know, they don't know that they're going to win the History Fair, and so it would be unfortunate for that child who won the History Fair, found out that the national competition's in 6 weeks, for them to be denied the chance to go based on the fact that their parents can't afford to pay for them to participate. So that would be my only reservation, is I would feel badly, and that's what we've done in the past. I think that's kind of where this led to, is we paid for those singletons, and then it kind of morphed into a larger group. So I think that somehow we have to figure out those singletons that get notified on the spur of the moment. I just feel like it's unfortunate that they can't.
Did you have all year to gather?
They don't have, and you can't have every single eighth grader be saving their money to go to the national competition when you know that they're not going to, they don't even have the chance of winning. Mm. So we need to somehow figure out those situations because it would be unfortunate.
I agree. The challenge there is coming up with a standard. Basically, it's a differentiated standard, saying we'll pay for some students. Or we'll provide funding for some students to go to national competitions, but not others.
Well, but maybe it's something that's based on the fact that
pay for the way of a single.
I don't know how you could.
I don't know either.
And that's the very challenge that Jeff and I have been struggling with, because we have had that conversation of what do you do with the kids who. You know, it's not the I get to plan all year and raise money. It is kind of a short term,
maybe
short window.
Half,
how do we raise money?
The district will pay half of a singleton. I don't know.
Well, and one of the things is, and like Linda said, using the foundation, frankly, I think there are a few people that I know, some of whom sit at this table, that if we knew that an eighth grader at Mount Logan Middle School qualified for the National History Fair, that we would work and we would want to make some donations. And the thing is, if you made it to the National History, you know, for transportation to the National History Fair competition, even if there's only one student going, that would still be to the competition, right, Shanna? That would still be okay to donate it that way, even if there were just one student going, if it were donated. Can you be that specific?
As long as it goes to the fellowship fund, and then that one student applies for it.
Yeah, we're just giving the money.
Right, it could also be, or run through the foundation.
Rather than even go through the entanglement.
Well, that's problematic as well, because then you're going to be saying, well, why is the Odyssey-minded people are going to be saying, well, why is the Board of Education not paying for my group to go?
Individuals, I would not say the Board of Education, it would be individuals, you know, any individual can donate to send a student somewhere.
Maybe if you had private donors.
If we set that precedence up that this organization is going to be funded by private donations.
I would not have done it by setting it up as an organization. I just know that there are people, and when I was in the foundation and there were special things happening, there were ways to talk to certain people who were pretty passionate about the arts.
Well, yeah, but they could donate. They could do that for any.
They really can.
For Odyssey or.
I think what Anna's saying is, what would happen is, okay, so you know, you've got this eighth grader. There's nothing public. It is just our little whispers among one another. Whoever wants to admit, we put them together.
Not even whispers.
So private, personal, private. So private donation. It's not from the board. It's from private individuals. Because I'll ask my daughter to give me some and my son to give me, you know, whatever, and then put it in a pile and say, here.
Mm-hmm. Lynn, what do you think on all this?
I think we have to have a baseline of what we're going to do, and then the exceptions we'll take care of as they come. I don't think you can go through and make exceptions for this and this. I think we have to come up with one general thing, and then,
right,
like some of these ones that do come up that can't afford it, I think we go through the foundation, and I think there's enough people. I'm sure we could give a phone call to or something and raise money for the one or two here and there, my feelings. I think we got to follow one set thing, and from what it sounded like, the committee felt like this would be a good workable thing.
What if the person said, I will sponsor you your entire trip if you wear a sweater with our logo on it?
I don't care. So what?
Yeah. So there are, you know, there are those instances that can come up. This was never something that came to the board when the payment, starting to pay for students at national competitions, it was something that just happened 9 years ago. And so, therefore, I don't know that we need a board motion on it.
No.
Are other districts paying their student travel to national competitions?
There are a few. The general trend of, I sent it out through the Superintendent's Association and said, hey, can everybody get back to us? The general trend is districts do not pay. There are some exceptions. There are some small districts that will pay because they never have large groups go anywhere. Garfield, you know, they will pay a percentage. But as soon as you start getting into larger numbers of students that might go, the districts by and large say we just can't do it. And it's hard. Nobody likes it,
right?
Because everyone would like to support them.
Yeah.
But in tight budget years, in tight budgets, it is hard to fund it.
Right.
Well, and then the other thing that was brought up also is, how do you say that this competition is different than the band or the choir or the drill team competition? Mm-hmm. They were state champs. They got permission to go to a national competition that's usually in Anaheim or Orlando, and they go there. And, you know, technically, they were state champs, but everybody gets invited. And so having it the first, second, you know, a qualifying competition, but I know even...
Helps, but it doesn't fix all
of
it.
Right, but even one bowl game that my son is a high school football player was invited to play in is because you were chosen as... as such an outstanding athlete in your region or whatever. There are a lot of them that, you know, and it's really hard to start saying, well, choir and orchestra groups isn't good enough, but this one is.
Well, I can see that. I think that we're all on the same page with that. I mean, because you're certainly right, because I was with the band when the choir, when they won in Washington, D.C. to go to first place in the next year in Seattle.
Yeah.
And so it's obvious to me that is, I mean, we understand that. It's the issue that I have, again, it's just those singletons who don't have the time or the resources to fundraise over a very short amount of time, denying them the chance. I mean, if my daughter won something in 6 weeks and she's going to New York or Washington, D.C., I'd probably find the money to pay for it. But I know there's a lot of parents out there who would not be able to come up with that money. So it's unfortunate. I don't want it to not drive our students to participate in activities based on the fact that parents can't financially pay for them to progress on to another level. That's my only reservation, and I don't think anybody here wants to deny anybody that chance.
No. Well, I can tell you, Christy, for one,
it could happen.
You know, when I ran my business, there were several times I got a phone call from the foundation, and I told them that we'd assist some kids if they couldn't make it. They couldn't. And I would be asked, we have student A and B that cannot afford to go. Is there any way your company could help these kids? And, of course, you're going to do it. And so I don't think it's going to be a problem. I personally don't, because I know there's a lot of individuals business owners and stuff that a phone call to them,
right.
They're more than likely they're very willing to help out. I personally feel that. Because I was more than happy.
But I'm not sure that's really. I'm not sure that's really the.
Maybe
scope of the foundation to be fundraising issues who can't go.
But it could. I don't care if it's advisor who it was. It didn't matter to me. I had said ahead of time, if you ever have a student that cannot go or needs something for I don't care what,
call
let me know. You know, that was I put my our business out there to say we'll do it, because you always set aside a certain amount of money that you're going to donate for whatever, and I always prioritize it that I wanted to help a kid.
Did you get
in any way
recognized for that?
No, I didn't want to be recognized.
Okay.
So I didn't care if I that wasn't what you was doing it for. You just wanted to help a kid.
But I don't know that, and I think that's genuine, and I think that's applaudable, and I hope that's what happens.
I
think the problem is that parents who have children in that situation aren't going to know that kind-hearted, wonderful Lynn Hobbs is going to pick up the pieces so their child can go.
Well, I think if you go through a certain process like we have, I think ways can be done. I really do.
Well, I hope so.
I think what we'd have to do is we would really have to push with a Tacey Hymas, et cetera, saying, you know, if you have students who qualify for the national competition, here's what we need you to do. You contact us, and then we can be working behind the scenes. I mean, we could reach out to businesses in advance, reach out to some of our donors in advance and saying, we're trying to identify people who, if we have students who qualify for these competitions and they don't have time to fundraise, would you or your organization be willing to help support them and get that aligned in advance so that when Tacey has students qualify, she contacts the district and we're able to say, okay, let's hook you up with this individual and we get that funding. My concern that is if we develop a guideline, not a policy, but even a practice,
right.
A practice as a district of we pay for it, that then becomes an expectation that is not always going to be sustainable.
Right.
But I think if we recognize that, you know, our baseline, as Lynn referred to it, is going to be, you know, we recognize students need to pay for these opportunities themselves. Our role and our desire then as a district will be to help facilitate that. And if there are cases where students can't come up with the funds, either due to timing or some other circumstances, we're not going to advertise it, but we know we have a process in place to get those funds for those students so they can still participate. Because I agree with what Christy said. I don't think anybody here wants to say, well, gosh, there just wasn't a way to come up with the money, so good job for qualifying, but just stay home. You know, we're not sending people to world competitions or anything, but nationally, I think we could still come up with ways. I'd be hesitant to develop an understood practice that became an expectation.
I'm in the history fair, and my dad is unemployed, and I might say, well, I'm not going to work too hard because if I win, I still can't go anywhere. There should be something in that outreach thing, or, you know, that's advertised, like you say, some guidelines or something, so that I read that and I go, okay, there are people who would be willing to help me I know they would. That doesn't mean they would come up with all of it, but people are there to help. I don't know. But you have to be careful, I think, how you say it. May I ask a question that's off task? Do we have a new news reporter from the Hayes Journal?
Yes, we do. She's back here. She introduced herself last time.
I knew that. I just wanted to know. I don't know. What is her name?
I missed your name. Met her last week. Last time she was here. So
I didn't
thank you
here.
For being here
I was
again.
Here.
Yeah.
Katie Pikens. So we're glad to have you here. All right.
And
anything
I
else?
Think Jeff had.
Well, I was just saying, I mean, you know, basically we're saying our support is to send an advisor. And so I would think if the advisor's way is going to be paid, that they would be trying to help them to raise the funds. I mean, I think that would be the expectation. I would see that happening if you got one of your students that's able to qualify, and we're going to send you to support that student that you know, they would kind of be the primary person that would say, we do to get funds raised and those kind of things. But, you know, it's not like we're not giving support. We're giving support.
But it, to me, you just kind of open a can of worms if you go beyond that. And it, it's tough to sustain and to figure out, pick and choose, and it puts us out of that role, and it just says, no, we'll support you, but this is how we support you as a district.
Okay, any other discussion on this? It was a hard animal to tackle because there are so many, but what if this and what if this? But I think we're not going to suddenly have $55,000 that has to go to Census students in May. That was a real surprise last year.
So what happens next on this issue?
Well, this year we've already communicated this to the principals so they can start telling their PTAs and telling their club advisors, et cetera, in their buildings. We'll send out the written copy with the clarified language to everybody. And then just as we move through the year, we have, you know, the history competition is coming up in 2 weeks. As we have students who qualify for first place, then Jeff and I will start.
So we're not really talking policy, we're just really talking about a practice.
Yeah, we're not talking about policy. This is just what is our practice going to be as a district.
Thank you.
And we'll move forward with that. And
I have one question. I just spawned my... Mm-hmm. So we have an exception for this year for those large groups. Are you going to have an exception for the singletons?
It's an exception for any student who earns first place in a competition
so
this year.
Their group or
correct.
A single person.
If we have a person
this
who scores first place at the history fair,
year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because we realize this year there's not time for anybody to plan for it.
And we are one of the policies that we are currently revisiting and looking at and getting some input from principals on is our field trip and travel policy. There are a few items in that we need to look at. It's field trip and travel policy. And it's really a very good policy that's served us for a lot of years. I reviewed state rule today and couldn't find anything. I need to double check with Utah High School Activities Association. You know, they've had the 150-mile one way, and so we've required that from everyone. We just need to double check with that. But otherwise, our travel policy has been a really good travel policy. We just need to move it into the new form and also see if there are any changes that we want to make to it and make those forms available. Perhaps, I don't know if we can make it so parents could fill them out online or not. Probably not because we need those signatures, but we're looking at that. That's one policy we're looking at. There's one area that we need to do a little bit of checking on. But other than that, I think it's a good policy that just needs to change its form. Okay, we will now move to our next item of business, which is discussion on audit actions. Every year we try to go to our business administrator and have him give us an update on the suggestions that were made by our auditors and let us know where the business department is with making any suggested changes. Often those suggestions by the auditors are for future events that are going to happen with changes in the general accounting governmental accounting standards. So we've asked Jeff to give that report to us tonight. Jeff.
Okay, if you remember when Mike Kidman reported the audit, we only have one finding. It's a finding that we've had every year. He felt like we would continue to have that every year. We could see a time that we wouldn't have that finding. It's basically that's what the audit is looking for, and it's that auditor proposed adjustments were required to make the financial statements conform to generally accepted accounting principles. And so the recommendation is that management should consider ways to reduce the number of year-end audit adjustments. We actually have reduced those over the last 3 years. Every year, those have gone down. You know, this year we did have the challenge that Adam didn't come. I mean, he was gone the month of July and part of August, and so we started the audit in September. So it was a timing issue as well. But we still had fewer than we had before. And he said he really didn't foresee a time that we would have zero, because typically they always find something that, you know, needs to be adjusted. It's basically, you know, journal entering something that into the right account or where it needs to be. And so that was the only finding, was one that he said to go forward. And so, you know, as we're learning, and especially as Adam's learning and getting educated on that each year, those are going down, and so it's a good sign. He was complimentary about that, but it's something that he expects that we probably will always have.
How much of those journal entry adjustments were because of our issuance of bonds? We had a different financial year last year because of that issuance of bonds.
Yeah, we did. I don't know. I have to go back.
But there was some of that with that, wasn't there?
There was. There were some other complicating issues, and there always are. But
every year there's something that comes up.
And it's something that, we're improving on, which is a good sign. We also had other matters, and again, these aren't audit findings. Our audit procedures also identified other matters involving internal control and compliance that, although not considered by us to be significant deficiencies, are weaknesses in internal control for which corrective action might be taken, or in immaterial instances of noncompliance with laws and regulations, or are simply other matters which warrant further consideration by the district. Follow-up recommendations of this letter should be made by the Board of Education reflected in the Board of Education meeting minutes. So the first one was, as per Utah Code 49-11-801, when participating in the Utah Retirement System Contributory System, the governing board of the district is required to authorize through formal action the district's payment of the employee-required contribution. During our audit, we noted that no documentation of the formal action was available. We recommend that the district pass a formal action to make these contributions. And as you know, we passed that on in our board meeting September 22nd, 2015, because we couldn't find, and it may have been done 20 years ago, we couldn't find the action that had happened, and so we just decided to go ahead and do that. We've been paying, I think we're down to just a few employees that we pay that kind of contributory, that are still in that contributory system. Most of them have retired. And so that was taken care of. Number two in the other matters, as per Utah Code 53A-12-102 and Administrative Rule R277-407, fees charged for secondary school activities must be approved by the local school board. During our audit, we noted that some fees charged at the Mount Logan Middle School were lower than the fees approved by the Board of Education. We recommend that the district update their system to assess the correct fees. And so I checked with the middle school to see what had happened, and apparently, talking to Wendy, she said in the past, I forget his name, but it's Matt Bennett's predecessor, had always gone in to Aspire and made those changes for them. And so when Matt came on, he wasn't updating that. And I think he probably just assumed that once things were passed, that the middle school would do that. And so they charged
less.
Yeah, the fee was approved at 18, and they charged them 16 because they didn't get the communication. And so Wendy's since found out that she can go in, and she knows how now to do that, and so she will take that responsibility whenever we pass the new to review that and update those every year. And so that will be taken care of, but it was an oversight from employees switching and not knowing who was responsible to do that. And so we've got that worked out, and you shouldn't have any more issues with that. The next one, as per Utah Code 63G-2-108, the records officer of the district must complete the annual online training course provided by State Archives on the requirements of the Government Records Access Management Act, GRAMA. During our audit, we noted that the training had not been completed since May 2014. We recommend that the training be completed by the records officer. And so part of the issue was, it wasn't clear who the records officer was.
Who was the records officer? Is that you?
That wasn't clear. Well,
it is now.
I drew the short straw, so it is me. So I'm the new records officer.
He's got a certificate.
I did the training. I am certificated. I went, took the training and passed the test. So that's done for next year. So anyway,
you do.
Nose goes works for a lot of things.
How long is that good for?
A year. I'll have to do it every year.
Get it.
What does that get you?
What's that?
It
gets compliance to the requirement that you do the training every year.
What did you learn from it? I mean, why do they require you to take that?
So that you understand grammar requests, when they come in, how much time you have to respond, how much, and they appeal those, what the process is for appeal, and how much time in each instance, who they can appeal them to. And so you just have to understand the whole process. And they want somebody in every district to understand that process so that they know And so as grandma
I don't need to remember anything.
Requests come in, I just need to review those.
So does that, do they all filter now through you since you have the certificate?
I don't have to respond to all of them, but I need to review them.
It's so you can, if someone comes in and they want grandma for whatever department, you just say, I've reviewed it and I'm sending it off yeah. to this department.
Which is kind of, I mean, we've been doing them, but it wasn't really a records officer that had the training for, I mean, somebody did it May 4, 2014. But,
I don't think it might have been.
And I guess it's like our taking the, proving that we've taken the open meetings law.
Yeah.
And probably if any of us didn't have evidence of that, luckily we have a way to document that we've had it, we would probably have been written up for that as well.
Stacy's not heartbroken that I'm the records officer. As far as I know, no one else is. So.
And that's all that matters, isn't it, Stacy?
I don't have tips.
Well, I can see that that would be slightly beneficial, so that's good.
It's nice to have someone that's you know, that understands that, you know, the rules and the laws and things that we have to follow in order to get our class. Good. And number four, as per UTOCO 53A, 17A, 153, and Administrative Rule R 277-110, educator salary adjustment funds are appropriated by the Utah legislature to give an ongoing salary adjustment to each qualifying educator and school administrator who receives a satisfactory rating on their most recent evaluation. During an audit, we note the following. They've got it listed as private insurance, but it's actually health insurance was incorrectly included in employer pay benefits charged to the program, which is the educator salary adjustment.
And if any of you are wanting to see this, you can go into Board Book for our December meeting, and it is the separate one that their financial statements are given to us. You know, you can just go into what he's reading if you want to in December.
Can you give us just a second? Because I was trying to find that. I knew we had it somewhere,
okay,
but I thought
so
it
was December. It is the December. You want to go into December Board Book, and then you want to go to the financial statements, yes. And then you scroll down to the bottom.
And is it on?
It's, well, he's now on page, well, the other matters start on page 4.
Four of their document or four of our document?
Four of their document. So you want to go into their document. And then he just covered the, on page 4, the administrative rule for, he's now on that educator salary adjustment funds.
Page 4 of their document? What pages of our on Board Book?
It's not on, okay, you go into Board Book.
I'm on Board Book.
Okay, did you click the other one?
Yep.
Okay, then they're down on their their letter.
I'm sorry, I think you have to keep one and then
on the one that has Joan Simpkins on the top of it. It's on page 4 of that one.
Next course with Logan City School District Management Discussion.
Okay, you need to go into the other one then.
The next one?
Okay, so sorry.
Go back out into Board Book.
Well, that's why I was trying to get it on my
Christy, if you're on the December 8th meeting,
the
LCSD management comm letter. That's the one.
And then go to page 4. That's
okay, so
where
right
it
here.
Is.
So
thank
I've
you.
Gone through
right.
those, okay. And now I'm on this number 4 right there at the bottom.
It is easier if you're reading through what he's saying.
Okay, and so if you remember, the educator salary adjustment was, it's $4,200 that goes to educators, and other people are qualified for it as well. But it was, I think, one year the legislature put $2,500, and the next year it was $1,700, but it went directly to educators. And so they call that the educator salary adjustment. And it's something that they send us as a separate, in a separate budget item that we give districts. Now, some districts, in the districts I was in previously, we kept those two separate. So your the salary schedule was separate from that.
And we did it one time.
I know. And there's reasons to do it both ways, and it was a complicated mess to set it up in the beginning.
So do they want it separate?
Well, they don't care whether it's separate. The problem was the way that it was in there, it would take the benefits out of, all of the benefits out of that account. Well, in that account, they pay us for the salary adjustment, but they haven't, you know, any increases in, they haven't kept up with anything. It's just, this. Here's the money. And so It should come out of a different account, but because of the way that they set that up in Ollie, it was referring to that account first. That was okay. The first account on the line, and so any additional things were coming out of that account. Well, you can't really do that because they haven't put the funds in that account to do that.
Okay.
And Adam had caught it, and he had made the changes, but he hadn't made the journal entry to adjust the money that had gone in there into the account where it was supposed to be. And so they saw that, pointed out, and so he made that adjustment. But it was a year-end adjustment after it was one of those adjustments that at year-end. And so then he worked with Ollio to figure out a workaround to make sure that doesn't happen. And so now it's coming out of the right accounts, and it's all taken care of and it's done. But
it's a new program that we're working with that was the challenge.
And so the B, unpaid leave, was incorrectly deducted from the program. That was the same situation. It was just any time that they would get leave without pay, it would automatically revert to this account. And so, anyway, it would be a mess to try to go. I mean, we don't get that. There's not that many leave without pays that hit the system. It would be a mess to go in and change everything around and try to fix that. And so the fix for that is that Shelley, whenever she does a leave without pay, just goes in and she changes the dimension. And so it normally goes to 20, and she moves that back to 1. And so she has to do that manually. And so on that screen, there's a little reminder that pops up that says, remember to move that so that it comes out of the right account. So whenever she gets a leave, I don't think we've had any yet this year, but we typically will get some by the end of the year. So she'll just go in and manually do it on that leave without pay, and so that will take care of it going forward. And that's the correction that we came up with. And although no errors were identified, we know that a formal process is not in place to allow the Human Resource Department to communicate to the accounting department when an employee receives an unsatisfactory rating in an evaluation. And so they didn't find that any mistakes had been made, but they just said, well, you don't really have a formal process to notify if there's an unsatisfactory rating for HR to notify that, oh, this person now, if it came down to it, would not receive part of their educator salary adjustment or whatever that entailed. And so that we just need to come up with that. We haven't done that yet. I brought the subject up with Suzanne. As you know, she's been on vacation.
Not a fun vacation sitting in the hospital.
She's on leave, and so anyway, when she gets back, we'll work out a formal process as far as how that information is. So we've discussed it, but we haven't created it, and so that will be done. And that's all.
Wonderful. One of our responsibilities as board members is to make sure that any of those findings, that we do review them, that we make sure that they get taken care of, and we appreciate Jeff making sure that we look at those and get them taken care of. So thank you very much on that.
Yeah.
And next year, they won't find those. They'll find something else. And my husband has told me over the years, they look until they find something. They have to find something every time they come.
Yeah.
So otherwise,
we're paying them a whole lot.
Yeah, we're paying, right.
Right.
So there are just a couple of other items that aren't on the agenda. They're more housekeeping items. If you want to make formal motions to add them to the agenda, I'd like to go over a couple of calendar items, and Superintendent would like to talk to us about the book that he would like us to read. So if you're okay with us discussing those, we can either have a formal motion to add those items.
Sure.
Or we can just discuss them.
I'll make a formal motion to add the calendaring items in the superintendent's book.
I will second that.
All right. It's been moved by Lisa and seconded by both Connie and Lynn. Decide whose name you want to put down. And let's go first to...
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Superintendent, why don't you go ahead and talk about this?
Thank you. So has everyone received a copy of the book?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Christy, do you have a copy of this?
Yes. Did you give that to the class? Yes.
Okay. So that was the first thing.
So.
No, that's okay, because we're going to be reading it together. I am excited about this. We, in our last administrator meeting, we gave it to the principals. We shared a reading schedule with them, and they're all, we're going to do it as a kind of a 30-minute book club discussion as some of our, in some of our meetings moving forward. What I have here is a slip that has a reading schedule for us. It has the dates that I would propose we discuss this in our board meeting, what chapters are assigned for that time. And the other thing I've taken the liberty of doing, I hope this group is okay, is I'd like everyone here to have a time where they facilitate the discussion. So there will be one evening where we'll, and I think it would be appropriate for us to set a time limit to say this is how long we'll spend on the book, because it, there are a lot of ideas that we could have spent a lot of time discussing very animatedly. But I think it'd be good for us to set a time limit. So if we did that, we would say, okay, on, for example, March 22nd, Connie will be the facilitator of the discussion, and I'll give this to you so you don't have to write it down, of chapters 12 through 15.
And the facilitator could choose what he or she wants.
The facilitator can choose how to emphasize, what information to emphasize, how to lead the discussion. Yeah. So we'll pass those around. You want to take one and pass it along?
This book yet, can I just have you think of a mindset and think about Frank's presentation, if you watched it, or even just the one that he presented here, and he talked about the spyglass and about looking, and he has spent so much time talking about empowerment and about leadership and vision, and it's the book just ties it all together. It's just part of the whole theme. And as I said, I think I said in that email, is that the person that I know who's in the Navy said that, and I guess it is, that it's required reading in the Academy now. And it's the kind of thing when I started reading it, and the man, the authors, it's like you don't want any spoilers, but the man has a purpose for writing it. And you go, it just fits. So have, just think of the vision that he's already set and that picture and everything. And I don't know, I think it just helps. Good. And it'll be really, it's a good book to put on the list, I think, for school board's thing.
We'll figure out where it fits in.
But I think we should recommend it to other people. I know our principal took a picture of the front and then they got the numbers off of it. I suggested he read it. I hope he's not offended.
And we've had some fun, just initial discussions. They've been great. John Taggart, our principal at Adams, when he shared the story that when he was stationed, when he was working in the Department of Defense Schools in Okinawa, he developed a relationship with a gentleman who was one of the officers on the Santa Fe and has later gone back. So he shared some first-person experiences of what this was like to go through this transition and some of the long-term impacts that it's had. As we talk about developing, you know, leadership across the district, as I read through this, I got very excited thinking it does align really well with the things that we're trying to do. And it will form part of our discussions at the principal level and the district level. So I thought it would be great for you all to be aware of as well. So my first question is, everyone in this group okay facilitating a discussion at some point?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have Jeff on here. I think he's filling that.
I'm the records officer.
Okay. Jeff is the records officer. He'll be recording that happen.
He's the one that made the assignment.
We will during the day, and then we have board meeting.
So some of these dates are...
That's a Wednesday.
Let me review my dates. Did I put? Did I make a mistake on the 9th?
Board meeting on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday is when we have...
That may have been what I was looking at on the night. Sorry, I apologize on that.
February 23rd.
So.
You were using a different calendar.
Hey, I'm getting married on February 30th, if you'll all come.
Okay, on the 30th we will.
Sorry, we'll fix those dates, yes. I'll fix the dates, and I'll email this out to you as I email the other items. Thank you. That happens when I start typing while I'm thinking about something else. So I'll get those out, and then we'll have the discussion to read through. It's pretty easy read. It's not very technical language or anything. It's a it's an exciting thing, and I had trouble putting it down once I started reading it, so I'm excited to read it with you all. You'll see that our last conversation will be during our summer workshop. So really the focus there will be wrapping up the ideas and then saying, okay, what does this mean for us moving forward? So I'm excited to have the 2 days there because I think we can get into a much deeper discussion of not just what the concepts are, but how are we going to apply those and support them as we move forward. So thank you for being willing to do that.
All right, we just want to discuss a few calendar items. First of all, we do have our Joint Legislative Committee this Friday. Anyone who would like to come, please give Stacy a call, because if we need more cars, you know, we have somebody with legs as long as Jeff. It's hard if we put too many people in the car. So we just, if we have extra people going, please let us know. Also, we will be having, I know that many of our elementary schools are having their Manners or Valentine Tees this week. I encourage you to contact your local elementary school and find out when they are conducting theirs, because they love to have us come. And as we know, Ellis has been having their Valentine Tea on the china that they have for 100 years, literally. Uh-huh. So it's just a fun time to have a time to go into the schools. We also have school community council training on the 17th. Is that correct, Frank?
17th of what?
Yes.
February 17th.
Yes, 6:30.
In this room at 6:30. Because it's a school community council training.
February what?
February 17th. Okay. It's a Wednesday. Because it's being hosted by the superintendent for a training for school community councils, if you're able to come and would like to, that would be just fine.
6:30?
6:30, yes. Here. So we wanted you to know about it. It's not a necessary thing, but we would like you to come and, you know, if you're able, and it would also be a way to get to know some of our school community councils.
Thank you.
On the 19th of February is USBA Day on the Hill. It will be a full day, and we're encouraged to go down to the legislature that day. There is more information that day, and would encourage anyone who's able to go, if you're only going to go to the legislature one day, the 19th is the day that we would like you to go. We have been leaving at 8:30 in the morning, but that day we will have to leave earlier because it's
so this party you're going at 8:30.
We'll go at 8:30, right? Doesn't that work best? We get down there early, but at least when did you leave last week?
8:30. We got down there really early.
So do we want to leave at 9 instead of 8:30?
I'm going to go down to the caucus meeting on Thursday, and then I've got the BA meeting at 8:30, so I thought I'd hit that this week. So I'm just going to go down.
Okay. All right.
I do have superintendent's meeting starting at 9 this Friday, so
okay. So
I don't know if the two of you want to drive down.
What usually happens is about this time, Christy and I end up driving on our own because we really don't like to leave at 6 a.m. to get down to your meeting. So
what time do you think?
I think we'll leave about 9 o'clock. Don't you come in? So we need to decide who Walter, our intern, will go with. Christy and I often stop and buy birthday presents for my grandchildren this time of year, but whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure Walter would be happy to wake up early and,
and go with you
and drive down with me. Hey, Walter, bring something to read.
Any store that's not in Cache Valley. Yeah. I'm buying birthday presents for my grandkids who all have birthdays this time of year.
I am going to try and go this Friday.
Okay.
But
life is life, we know. So give us a call give me a call if you're going, and we'll get that arranged.
Okay.
Then Frank is doing some meetings with both parents and faculty of Logan High. I think, as we've talked, that probably those are some that we've actually. How do you feel about board members being present? Let's just discuss it.
I think, as I've thought about this, my only concern would be if having a board member there were to cause anyone to feel that they couldn't share a thought or express an opinion as we talk about what we want to do moving forward. That would be my primary reason for requesting that this be something that I and other district staff manage. You all will be involved in the interview process when we do that, but for this piece, for the group meetings, I think it would be appropriate if it were run by me and other district directors.
The only comment that I've had is I've had a couple people who have asked me to come and at least be there because they're not coming as a parent of a child.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I say to them?
Any parent who's there, any board member
that
who's
can't
there,
go.
I mean, if you go even as a parent to most of the people, it's you're there as a board member, and there is already, you already have a great deal of influence on who's going to be principal, simply because we'll be, you know, he's the final, you know, choosers of that.
And I think they can give input to Frank somewhere other than me.
I've had some parents email me directly.
Okay.
I've had parents email
their
feedback. And I would emphasize that. If they're unable to make the meetings, please use some other venue. If they want to share the feedback with you all as a board member and have you try and share that with me, that's not a problem. If they want to email me directly, that's not a problem. We don't want that to make people feel that that's their only venue for sharing input, but I think we can run it in that small group, and anybody who's not able to make it, they can still share through other medium.
And that might be something we want to have Shanna or you or both send out, you know, something on ParentLink or whatever, reminding them of the meeting and also letting them know, or even having it be right on the our website talking about that this meeting is happening. If you're not able to attend, this is how to get hold of the superintendent and give your input. I think it just would, the more that we let people know we're looking for input.
Has it been advertised a lot?
I don't know that it has at all.
I have been getting messages.
Because you're a parent.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a parent.
That's true. I did see that on what you sent out.
Right.
We've sent two ParentLink messages out.
Okay.
And then it's been on our Facebook page. So it is getting some,
parent,
some traction.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
That's what support.
And because I'm not, I don't.
If you're not a parent, you're not going to get that.
All right.
There is a sense of, not that I'm saying, I mean, I'm not saying that I have to go, but it is a little, I mean, if we don't hear the I understand what you're saying, that people may not feel free to make a comment, but if we're going to be involved in the hiring process, it is a little disconnected that we haven't heard what the parents are expressing an interest in. So if we're not going to be there, then we need to have a full report about what those things are, because we need to be abreast on what they're thinking versus just you and the district staff knowing what they are, and we don't have a clue. It just is a little problematic.
We could share that.
I don't think you have to have statement by statement, but I think you could give us an overall feel of maybe five or six on boom, 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 this is what their most concerns are. You know, instead of every comment, just a synopsis of what's going on.
Does anyone have anything else to add to calendaring before our next board meeting, which is on February 23rd?
One quick question. If we have something we want to put on for just the next agenda, what is a nice time frame for giving that to you?
You can just submit it to me or to Frank, and we'll discuss it at an executive meeting. Right, or
okay,
then.
But I mean,
but she's saying when would you like
to? I don't want to do it the day before.
Well,
we meet on
Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
We meet every Wednesday, so you could submit it to us on a Wednesday.
Yeah, we meet at 7:30 in the morning.
You meet 7:30 every Wednesday?
7:30 a.m. every Wednesday.
So the Tuesday before a board meeting?
Okay.
Yeah, we meet every Tuesday.
Every Wednesday.
Excuse me.
So, you know, by the night before, we'd appreciate it if you were wanting us to look at something.
I was just putting in my dates for the board meetings, and I do think we have a conflict on June 28th, which is the primary election.
Karen, you'll be working that day with the primary election?
I would assume.
Okay, well.
Okay, June 28th.
I don't think it's probably on anybody's schedule yet that it's the primary election.
Okay, well, we can look at whether we do a one-day workshop or if we need to reschedule that. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. Any
other? If I'm involved with that, I won't be here. If you do it that weekend, I won't be able to be there Monday or Tuesday.
You couldn't be there Monday either?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good to know. All right. If there are no other calendaring items, then I will declare this meeting adjourned at 16. Thank you.
Is that okay to say that's the record?
You are?